Blog Talk Radio.
If you have night, you may know what it's like to deal with high. Yep.
From ISIS USA to the demand for more Second and First Amendment,
rights and broadcasting from a dainty, dinged, bumper stickered, and delightful mini Airstream mobile studio. Kelly O'Connell, 606. And you're listening right here to 1450 KOBE AM Las Cruces, 523-1450 to call in. Real, just beautiful weather. Is it the nicest time of the year? It might be. It just feels like days that you don't mind being outside all day and having a coffee or a little iced tea in the evening and looking across the valley. Got some interesting stories for you. By the way, 53 degrees right now, and going to be a high of around 80 and a low of around 58. So it's just going to be another nice day. And I'm looking at a little bit of the Weather Channel for you right now, and it looks like there's some severe weather from down almost underneath us in Texas, but over a few hundred miles, and then up through Dallas, Oklahoma, Kansas City, St. Louis, thunderstorms into Sunday. So it's going to be a little bit rough, I guess, and in Texas, but they can handle it. There was in the forecast for them talking about tornadoes, so certainly bear that in mind if you're traveling east at all. Okay, I've got for you, or we got a guest coming on today. My friend Jerry's coming on at around 7 to talk about New Mexico. New Mexico insurance, basically, and he stopped by to show me some stuff, and he sells insurance, so I said, well, why don't you stop by and we can talk about it on the air, because I don't think there's a lot of people that are really informed of what's going on out there. I don't claim to know what's going on in the insurance market. I do know that for whatever reason that the Republicans have given up getting rid of Obamacare, and that is kind of an inside baseball statement because they are afraid that if Obamacare goes down and the poor suffer even marginally, that they'll be blamed for it. So, and I mean, that's just the way it goes these days. What was it like before political correctness? I can't even remember. But it's pretty sad that that they've got this tool to attack people that a lot of times does not respect the majority opinion, and it doesn't really reflect common sense or logic. And the multiculturalism, you take a truth out of another culture and you bring it here and you say this truth has to be respected because other people respect it, which would validate Nazism and pedophilia in ancient Greece and the Nazi communist regimes of USSR and a lot of other crazy stuff. So we don't really believe that, but we do believe it when it is convenient. Now, I've got a few headlines for you, but first, Tom Brady is said to know or have known about those deflated balls. Now, of course he did, but what is going to be the outcome? And I've got a story from ESPN on that. I've also got a story that I've been holding back on all week, which is basically Dr. James Dobson, who's an extremely popular and very influential broadcaster. He had said that the West is going to fall because of gay marriage, and I think that his position was a little bit more nuanced than that. But it was basically, if we go this far, then there's nothing left. And I just wanted to get your guys' opinion on that. Is there a conservative argument for gay marriage, or is gay marriage just so far over the line that it cannot, there can't be accommodated? We've also got and I'm trying to cue this thing up for Brady. Does that affect your long-term view of Tom Brady? that he would either cheat actively or at least passively allow it to happen. It's got to, doesn't it? But I mean, he's a lovable guy. He's good looking. He's married to the world's most beautiful woman. He's a real American star. Maybe that is what makes him a real American. His ability to fudge the line a little bit. Here, check this out. My opinion, since you asked, I think that Tom Brady had to have known. Nobody, you know, his livelihood. That's like a piano. What if a piano was the wires were extra tight or extra loose? Would Elton John or Billy Joel know? Of course they would. That's their whole life. So he had to have known. But I get who cares about the trainer? Go after the coach and the owner. Give them a big fine and take away draft choices. I mean, that's, I think, how you have to do it. If you believe that it was something that Tom Brady knew about, which they've concluded, and that he was part of, which they said he traded balls, signed balls and memorabilia to the staff for a little wink and a nod and give me an underinflated ball, then, you know, you got to sanction him. If you're going to sanction him, make it meaningful. Take away a couple $1 million. People are still angry. So CameraGate. And by the way, why does everything have to have a gate on it is what I'd like to know. So that's my opinion on that. Now, Tom Brady is not going to be permanently damaged by that. He's too lovable. He's too successful. All right. So we got a lot of stories here, but let me just go through a few of the headlines. Mike Savage claiming Obama will arm gangs for race war. What do you think about that? Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who just had a heart attack. Baltimore is just the beginning. I think there's a lot of these people that are into the black movement who want to see a race war at some level. Maybe not a complete war, but some sort of a race thing to come to the surface. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hey, Coach Mike.
Mike, how's it going?
I'm hanging in there.
Hopefully by two hands and not one hand, Mike. Go ahead. I didn't mean to throw you off. Go ahead and read your your canned speech.
Too early, Kelly. Hey, Kelly, I was wondering, with Tom Brady and the balls.
Yeah.
Did he, the owner of the Patriots, you know who that is? I forgot his name.
His name is Robert Kraft. He's very crafty, but go on.
Yeah, wasn't he on the stand for Hernandez?
Yeah.
And he was like kind of testifying that he loved him like a son and he had like kind of like good character and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, probably. What's he supposed to say, Mike? He's an idiot. He was in a gang. He used to try to stab people with a penknife when he was in the locker room, but I still decided to keep him.
Those are the facts, right?
Just the facts, Jack.
That's what attorneys tell me. They want just the facts.
All right. So your point anyway, if you have one?
Well, I'm just saying, I don't think that team is beyond cheating.
It is not beyond cheating. It is a cheating team. The question is, how bad is the cheating and what are we going to do about it? I mean, I've gone from hating the Patriots to somehow kind of almost loving him. I don't know. It's like the kid. It's like the kid that keeps stealing cookies and keeps getting spanked and keeps going back. You know,
it's a sign of the times, Kelly. We're living in the satanic age.
Well,
up is
are you,
down
Mike,
and down is up.
Mike, I love how you won't let me squeeze a word in. But are you saying that there was no cheating before the satanic age?
No, but it's getting more that way. society is turning more that way.
More cheating.
The villain is a hero. Today, Kelly, the villain is a hero.
Well, that's probably true. But, there's people have always had a soft spot for bad boys, haven't they?
Yeah, just like Satan.
You think people have a soft spot for Satan?
Sure do.
I don't know, folks. What do you think? Is Satan,
They love Jesus so much. Look what they did to him.
Cut in on me, and let him twist in the wind. Do you think that people are developing a soft spot for Satan?
Who's going to twist in the wind?
You are. Every time you start to interrupt me, I'm just going to pull your mic down. But so this is a satanic culture now?
No, who's going to hang me out to dry and let me twist in the wind?
I am. I'm going to pull down your microphone every time you I say something, you cut in like a rude buffet person trying to get into the Golden Corral. Anyway, what's your point?
I'm just saying, I don't put it beyond them to cheat.
They've cheated in the past, and we know they've cheated in the past. It's established. Are you saying they worship Satan in Boston?
I'm saying that Tom Brady knew that his balls were deflated.
Well, you'd probably have to talk to a medical expert about that. But of course he did.
How could you prove that?
Because I don't know if you're getting your second cup of Sanka. I was saying,
hold on.
There goes the microphone. It's like asking Billy Joel or Elton John if they knew that the piano, if the piano wasn't tuned correctly. That's, of course they did. That's the first thing they noticed.
Well, Elton tickles those ivories, right?
Well, please don't bring him into Deflategate. That would bring a new level of disgust. But anyway, Mike, we got to go, but call back after the next break. I'll talk to you later. All right, folks, that's how you do it. I've got to keep Mike roped in there. He's just speaking of bad boys. All right, so we got a major tornado that's touched down near Oklahoma, I believe Oklahoma City. So we're going to come back and tell you about that. And we love you, Mike, but I got to keep you hemmed in there on that microphone because I've been listening to some of the shows and there's a lot of overtalk. You know, there's a lot of people calling in and then asking me a question or I'm trying to say something and then they keep talking, which is okay. It's okay, but you can't nobody can hear what's being said. This is Kelly. Who's this?
It's Patty Riley.
Patty, citizen journalist. Very, very briefly, or I'll put you on hold. What do you prefer?
I just wanted to say something to Mike. Sure. There's a positive side to everything.
There's a positive
Satan's
side are... to Satan. There is. I pulled him
now,
right there. There's a positive
Satan's
side to
been
Satan,
here.
Folks.
My God, you pointed it out.
Well,
that's what we've had in the past.
Okay. Thanks,
I mean,
Patty. Call back.
We can make it better if we want.
Let's have a great day. Let's make our Satanism better, folks. All right, we'll be right back. Kelly O'Connell and 621 AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523-1450 to call, and we'll be back. This show's starting out a little wild already. And well, on this... I missed it, but I'll get it on the next one. I had to hear what you did. I'm not until it cycles, but I understand exactly the tone. Yeah, you're right. I have to agree 100%. I'm still taking occasionally little baby steps.
Yes, I know.
625, Kelly. And listen, folks, listen to me. Tom Brady's suspension could span up to one season. What do you think about that? They say it's an unmistakable conclusion that Tom Brady is a liar. Now, ultimately, let me ask you this. Does lying enhance his I mean, it's got to hurt his reputation long term. I'm just trying to think of people that you find out something about them and it's bad, but you actually think more highly of them. I think that if he gets up and says, "Yeah, I deflated the balls. My hands are the size of Richard Simmons. I can't really grip my balls when it gets cold." I'm sorry. I don't know what I was thinking. It's not the coach's fault. It's not the owner's fault. It's not the trainer's fault. It was me. Then I think he gains credibility because people like somebody who's down to earth, who has a touch of greatness, but yet is down to earth and willing to admit their shortcomings. But if somebody lies and they've got a perfect life and they've got the world's most beautiful supermodel wife and they live in a $20 million mansion in Los Angeles or Santa Barbara, wherever he lives, but they're also superstars on the East Coast, New England. I don't know. I think this hurts him because people are going to go back and say he knew about Cameragate, and everybody already thinks of Belichick as a rule breaker. As a matter of fact, the other coaches call him Belichick, the only coach that's ever coached a perfect season. The Miami coach, Don Shula, referred to Bill Belichick as Belichick. So I think this does do some pretty significant damage. Now, if Mike is correct, and Mike himself admits to following a Satanist who interprets the Bible, which is Albert Pike, are we living in the age of Satan? Possible. Will people start handing out little Satan tracts instead of, this is how you get converted to Christianity. All right. So, looking for any other headlines that might catch your day. Well, I've got to play this for you. This is a tornado in, this is in Oklahoma. So let me play this for you. It's not too far away. From NBC. I detect this. You talk about heavy clouds, and I was having a conversation with somebody, and they told me, the tornado's coming when the sky turns green. And I just had to have a big gulp at that moment. Not a big gulp, but you know what I'm saying. I had a little nervous reaction there. All right, so looking on our list here, and I got so many stories. We got a phone call here, by the way. Thanks for the call to Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
It's the synagogue of Satan, Kelly.
Albert Pike. I mean, how in the heck did you end up buying into a Satanist as your Bible teacher? I'm just curious, as everybody
Kelly,
else is.
What I was saying about Pike, and I'm not talking over you.
Are you talking under me?
I'm talking under you. You're much more – Kelly, I agree you are much more smarter than me.
No, I'm not. Come
but
on.
But what I want to say about Albert Pike, what he was saying, he was a Luciferian. What do you call it?
Luciferian.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, what he was saying is that Zionism will eventually turn into Luciferianism.
Hey, well, you listen, you already admitted he was a follower of Lucifer and that he interprets the Bible for you. But let me ask you this. Define Zionism, A, and then B, why are you so much against it? I don't get it.
Well, it's more of a political movement, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's not
listen,
a religion.
Listen, let me ask you this. You're Jewish. You're living in Germany. They're trying to kill you. You go to Poland, they try to kill you there. I mean, you're in Russia, they're trying to kill you at the same time. Why in the heck wouldn't you want your own state to be protected in?
I'm all for the protection of Israel.
Yeah, I've noticed. But what is Zionism to you that you're so opposed to it?
Well, there's a lot of Jewish people in Israel, Kelly, that do not agree with Zionism, and they're like rabbis, and they're true
what
Jews, and they don't agree with it.
Zionism, just define it for the people. I mean, Zionism was my understanding. Zionism is the movement to create a state for Israel, for the Jews.
Well, in 1948, Israel became a nation.
Yeah, but Mike, you've got an amazing ability to.
You got to know, Kelly. You have to know the parable of the fig
Mike.
Tree.
How does that feel? You know, that's a lot of power that I have never been really using before. People want to know why you never answer questions directly. Is it your Luciferian roots?
Well, I am. Kelly, please.
I'm listening.
Please. Israel became a nation in 1948.
You've already stated that. Everybody knows it. What's your point?
It was prophesied. It's called the parable of the fig tree.
All right. So we got a parable of a fig tree. The fig grew up and threw off some figs. Now what?
Okay. In the parable of the fig tree, you had the good figs and the bad figs, right?
Yeah, but Mike, just define that people are just pulling their hair out. I'm asking you what Zionism is.
What I'm saying is,
there
Christ,
goes the microphone. Hey, why can't you just define Zionism so people could possibly understand where you're coming from?
Well, this isn't the reason I called.
All right,
I want to talk about
Mike,
Obama.
Mike,
no,
right.
Listen, Kelly.
Mike. Let's take a break and call back after this break. Okay, thank you, folks. Let's gird our loins here. Come on. Get it together. All right. So, anyway, we'll take a little break here. 6:33. Talking to Mike is kind of a circular process, but anyway, we will be right back. 523-1450 to call in. AM Las Cruces 1450 KOBE Kelly O'Connell. Hey, it's Kelly.
You're not smarter than me.
Hey, if you're so smart, why didn't you come to my office with sausages?
Oh, you know what? Bev called yesterday. She wants to meet today. So when I go meet her, I'll bring you somebody. Are you going to be around today at your office?
Well, I cried myself to sleep yesterday. I don't know if I can handle the disappointment again.
Oh, man, I'm so sorry. I'm surprised you're saying that because you never really sounded too enthused about getting any.
Because you don't know how busy I am and how, like, it's just like a total chaos when, the phone rings every 5 minutes and you never know what's going to be on the other end. But we're about on the air.
Okay.
It's Kelly here, 6:37. Got Rob on the line, and Rob just pointed out I'm not as smart as a fifth grader, but go ahead, Rob.
I said fourth. Don't be changing my words.
All right,
I'm teasing. Hey, so, Kelly, I just heard on the news in that little break about the whole enchilada. I got to thinking about a month ago or a month and a half, they canceled the River Raft race.
Yes.
That group's gone. And I don't recall seeing the balloons in the fall. In the last couple of years, what's going on with this town that all the festivals are just throwing their hands up and walking away?
I don't know. I mean, it could be that the economy is underperformed. There's a clip that I should probably play from Steve Wynn. Steve Wynn is a guy from Las Vegas that I grew up with that took a lot of risks and made a lot of money. And he's always been liberal, and he's gone after Obama the last few years. And he said the economy has never recovered, and it's a mirage. He doesn't say anything about Obama in this clip, but my point is that he used to be so far left, and now he's going back against the party because he's basically saying the economy is a mirage, this so-called recovery is a mirage. And so I think what happens is, if you were to track an economy that lost steam and then never got it back again for 10 or 20 years, there's certain structural changes in it. You can see that in Japan. But there's tremendous problems in this economy, and when people don't have the ability to, you know, business goes through cycles. There's an up cycle and a down cycle. And if the businessmen and women don't have a chance to go through a real up cycle and to put a little, you know, cut a little wood and save it for winter, you can't support charity. You can't support other stuff, you know?
Yeah, I agree. You know, you had Mr. Russell on yesterday.
Big Ben, yeah. Big Ben.
Yeah. The county's gross receipts were down 7% last year. And, yep. You know, you compound that with interest and, not interest, but inflation. You've got some serious problems.
It's devastating. Now, I'd say that to anybody. Look, and I used to write this economic column, and I don't have an economic degree, but I was taught by this guy, Diamond. And when I wrote for him, and I was doing ghostwriting for this guy. Anyway, what I found out about economics is it's pretty simple. I mean, if you keep your taxes down, if you keep red tape down, if you do rule of law to protect contracts and business people, you know, you can have a strong economy anywhere in the world and make a lot of money. But when you don't have that stuff in place, you're never going to have a strong economy.
I agree.
All right, so now since we're in agreement, anything else?
No.
Thanks for the call.
That's it for now.
Okay, have a good day. I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye. I'm looking for this clip. I found the article, but I don't find the I like Steve Wynn because I think he's a straight shooter. He's made a lot of money in Vegas. You know, there was a time in Vegas when people were talking about building up Las Vegas, and I was a little kid. I didn't really understand what was going on, and I didn't, you know, like in a lot of, I think people are kind of naturally Marxists until they get a little bit of education, and or maybe there's a lot of Marxism in the storylines, and so you know, when you're a little kid, you pick up on it. We have another call. Thanks for the call, the Killer Connell Show. Who's this?
Megan Kelly. I saw that article on Wynn.
Well, that's nice, Mike. I'm pleased.
I saw that he did a video clip. It was on Ralston in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I'm looking for it right now. But so what else is going on?
I couldn't find it. I went on YouTube.
Mike, seriously, you act like you're on death row and you've got 12 hours left. What else is going on?
I'm hanging out to dry.
Thank you very much. Okay, that's what hanging out to dry looks like there. All right, so anyway, let's take a little break here, and we'll take a little break here, and we'll come back. I've got so many stories, and I've got to. All right, so let me tell you this: there's some stuff that I want to cover tomorrow. I've been doing a little bit of looking into the universe, cosmology and stuff, age of the universe and different things. I want to bring that on tomorrow. People falling into volcanoes that I thought was tragic but kind of funny. I've got a question for you. I'll just throw this out there today. They've got a new way to treat pedophiles. The new way to treat pedophiles is with child robots. Thumbs up, thumbs down. Do you think it's the greatest thing since sliced bread, or do you find that disgusting? And more to the point, because people, you know, can do what they want in their privacy of their home unless they're hurting other people. That is the famous John Stuart Mill dictum. But let me ask you this. I mean, do you think it could maybe actually make it worse? You know what I'm saying? Maybe, like, really get these guys going? Anyway, Kelly O'Connell, 643 AM, Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523, 1450, we'll be right back. Kelly here, obviously, and so I've got the story that I just mentioned to you. Here's the Daily Mail, UK. Could child sex robots be used to treat pedophiles? Researchers say sex bots are inevitable and could be used, quote, like methadone for drug addicts. Robotics experts say the sex bots that resemble children were inevitable, claims child sex bots will significantly reduce the number of people overall who abuse children, predict animal sex bots and disabled sex bots will also be developed. And this is kind of reminiscent a little bit of the movie Blade Runner, where during the movie, Harrison Ford realizes that this woman that he's had an affair with is a robot, or it's an android, whatever, part human, part machine. And I think at the end of the original ending, the original version, he comes to the conclusion that he is also a robot, which could happen to our own dear president at some point. All right, so I've got this clip from Steve Wynn about the economy. Listen to this. Check this out, folks. What the heck? All right, so this is this interview with this is actually not the clip that I was looking for. The clip I'm looking for is just this little snippet when he's talking about it was like a 30-minute interview there. But I think that it's important to bear in mind that it's not like physics, where a lot of times your instincts or your gut is wrong. You got to go with the things that you see on the ground in something like economics. It's pretty obvious that this economy has never recovered, and the people that are making excuses for it really are just doing that. And I mean, maybe there's something to this idea that we're living in the age of Satan, because Satan's the father of lies. It just seems like an unpleasant truth comes out and then it's buried in lies. But here's Steve Wynn talking to John Ralston, who's I guess kind of a famous in Las Vegas journalist, and he's a libertarian. Check this out. That said, it's kind of a harsh reality. There's speaking of physics, there's this law out there that for every action, for every movement, there's an equal and opposite movement. And I think you can't have money that's created out of nowhere that is funding your government without causing inflation. That's just one of these things that goes without saying. But people, because it is abstract in their mind, in their experience, and because it's not talked about in the media very much, people are they're really kind of on the fence. And when the government acts like it's an absolute joke to even talk about it, it does feed in a sense of unreality. And people who have an economics background, who are working in the money markets and stuff, in the financial markets, do see the impact. It's a very bad situation that we're in, but we're fortunate that there's no other country that can take over for America right now. We've got a call. Thanks for the call to Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
You covered that snippet on Ralston.
Let me put you on hold there. I got to take a break right now. We'll come back and talk to Mike. Folks, we'll be right back. 651 AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, Kelly O'Connell Show. So in case I need to leave, somebody sits there, then you have to kind of jump over. It is Kelly here at 6:54, and we have Mike.
Hey, Kelly.
Mike, for your fifth call, what's up?
I've had four cups of coffee, so.
Congratulations.
Pre-wired.
Anyway, Mike, I'm sure people don't want to hear about your coffee consumption. What's up?
Kelly, when Steve Wynn was doing this interview, he said that the real unemployment is like 15%.
Yep.
He said the statistics are a lie.
Yep. Okay.
And then he said that the 2016 candidate is going to have a monumental task in front of him. And then he brought up immigration.
All right. And go
is
on.
He a support? Well, is he a supporter of Hillary Clinton?
I have no idea. I know he's not a supporter of Obama. So other than that, I don't know. He's a liberal. He's a Democrat. So a lot of these people are, you know, to run a casino empire, you'd have to probably be. I'm saying that, but then I'm thinking of Adelson. But I mean, you got to be a little bit liberal in the idea that you're making all your money off of, you know, people that are just throwing it down the toilet. But anyway, okay. But Mike, we're running out of time. Is there anything else?
There is something. This is
briefly.
My main reason I called this morning.
Thank you. Thank God you've finally gotten to it. What's your point?
Okay, this article in Drudge this morning, it says Obama may arm U.S. gangs for race war.
Yeah.
And I guess it was Michael Savage that said that.
Yeah, I mentioned that at the start of the show. What's your point, please?
All right, I'm trying to put the pieces of the puzzle together. Obama lets in.
Mike, we're running out of time. Call back on this tomorrow. Folks, we got 2 minutes left. If you've got a point to make and it's your main point, bring it up in the beginning of the first 5 minutes of your conversation. All right. So I've got to, okay. Here is a New York Times article, Water Pricing in Two Thirsty Cities. In one, guzzlers pay more and use less. So anyway, that's the title. They're talking about what to do with the California water crisis. And they're talking about all of these animals that are dying in California, up in the hills because there's no water for them to drink. And they said that in this article, they talked what they did 15 years ago in Santa Fe. Is what they did is basically the more water you use, not just the more money you pay for it, but the higher your rate is. Think about that. You know, some people. You have an aquatic center, so to fill that up, you don't pay the same as the little old lady who waters her lawn three times a week. You pay a lot more, and so but you give access and you turn it into a capitalistic enterprise. I think that's kind of interesting because there are some places that would undoubtedly, like golf courses, would pay more for the water, and it would go into the coffers. And then you could use that money to change the water system itself. And that's something that I think that we need to consider doing is to – we've got to figure out a way to save this rainwater that comes down. I mean, we get sometimes a ton of water in a short period of time. And if we could figure out a way – well, the way's out there already. We just need to put in the infrastructure. If we were able to do that or if we made the commitment to do that and it would be expensive, what would be the outcome? Maybe – it would be so big that it would solve a lot of the local water problems. So anyway, there are stories I'm going to get in tomorrow. Let's talk about the gay marriage apocalypse, whether the internet is maxing out. I've got a bunch of science stories that I've been collecting, and including people who fell into volcanoes. How do you accidentally fall into a volcano? It's not like you're walking down a Pickwick and trip, but there's some lady from Hong Kong that fell into a volcano that is very sad. But at the same time, every single thing she did, people are like, please, no, not one more step. Don't go farther. Stop. And she didn't listen to anybody. And she got up to the edge and looked over to take a picture and just maybe she got a lung full of, volcano smoke or whatever. She fell in. And so anyway, I got some stories for that tomorrow. We're going to come back and talk to Jerry about insurance. Kelly O'Connell, 6:59. So what's up, man? You want some coffee? 7:06. It is the 7th of May, and it is 53 degrees outside. 80 is the high today, 58 the low. Real, real nice time of the year, of course. 6 miles per hour wind, probably get more than that, but for some reason the wind is not usually accurate on these reports I get. But you've been had a pretty lively show, and had Mike try to take the show over on five different calls, but we fended him off. All right, I've got Jerry Itachico on, and he is somebody that I know that is in the insurance industry, and so he stopped by my office and brought me a little material on insurance, and I thought, you know what, this is kind of interesting. Why don't we bring it on the show? Because number one, you know, everybody needs insurance, and number two, there is so much flux in the industry right now. There's so much information and misinformation, and even people that are well informed normally don't know what's going on. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning, Mr. Kelly. How are you doing?
Good. How about yourself?
I'm doing well, thank you.
And so you had brought some information by the office, and just to try to, you were saying, pass this on to the listeners. I said, why don't you come on the show and we'll talk about it. What in how in general would you describe the insurance industry right now in New Mexico?
The insurance industry is booming. Unfortunately, it's on the backs of policyholders and people that can't afford the insurance. New Mexico was a fantastic state for health insurance. You could have got somebody, they could have had the worst possible health condition. I would have been able to get them health insurance through the Blue Cross and Blue Shield of New Mexico through the health pool.
Mm-hmm.
The way that worked is it went by your income and amount of people in your household. Now that's almost a dead issue. People that are on it are skinning their teeth. What New Mexico did, and a lot of other states, is they've expanded Medicaid. For any of your listeners, I don't know if they realize that if they were 55 years and older, when they qualified for Medicaid, yeah, they're getting it for nothing, but they're signing their assets over to the state. Medicaid used to be a program.
Could you explain that a little bit more? Because it sounds like a bizarre claim.
If people looked at a Medicaid.gov, one of the statements that it makes is, under certain conditions, money remaining in a trust after Medicaid enrollee has passed away may be used to reimburse Medicaid. States may not recover from the state of a deceased Medicaid enrollee who is survived by a spouse, child under the age of 21, or blind or disabled child. But states are also required to establish procedures for waiving that. But children, if they turn 21 living in the house, they will be put out of the house under normal conditions. States are required to do this. States are, let's see, words. The first sentence, state Medicaid programs must recover Medicaid benefits paid on behalf of the Medicaid enrollee. Now, when you file for Medicare, if you're 65, you qualify for Medicare. If you want a low-income subsidy, they go by your income and by your assets. Under Medicaid now, they don't look at your assets. So you might have $1 million in the bank or whatever amount of money in the bank. You might have IRAs, stocks. They don't look at that. The state will automatically attach anything you have. If you're filling out under Obamacare, all they will do is look at your income. The very last question the very last statement on the application is, if you accepted a subsidy or a tax credit and you should have been in Medicaid, they will go after you for that money that was given to you every month. If you're qualified for Medicaid, you qualified for Medicaid. Example, I've got a couple. He's on Social Security disability. She has a small income. And I can't keep them out of Medicaid. And they do have some assets, not a lot, but they do have some assets. But under Obamacare, they're automatically entitled to Medicaid. So they have to pay the full tilt to keep stay out of Obamacare. It's been hurting the people. It's hurting individuals. Insurance companies had to fall in line or they go out of business. Loveless, they used to be in the state. Well, they're kind of they've gone now. Anybody that does any looking on any of the sites, they will tell you Obamacare will attach your assets. They have you. I don't know if that's called a redistribution of wealth, if they're eliminating the middle class. I've got individuals, they qualify for extra help, males, and they're getting family planning. I don't understand that. Why does a male need family planning? But somebody's paying for it.
Who knows? Like that question I cannot answer. Family planning, though, is abortion. Family planning is for abortion rights. It's not for actually planning a family. It's for planning on getting rid of a family. But anyway, all right, so Jerry, the stuff that you brought by the office that you wanted people to know about in particular, let's come back and talk about that. I thought it was interesting. Folks, we're talking to Jerry. How do you say your last name?
Ida Chico.
And it looks a little bit different than that, but then again, it's Italian. What do you expect? 713 AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523-1450. If you have any insurance questions, please call in. We'll be right back. Kelly here, and I've got Jerry Itachico, and talking about New Mexico insurance. Now, you had brought some information by my office to show me. What in particular were you trying to communicate when you were, you know, kind of gave me that packet and pointed out a few things?
Well, most of it was about the attachment of assets that the government has the right to seize your assets. So if you say, well, I have everything in a trust, I have it set up so they can't get it, the government's going to take it, and there's nothing that you're going to be able to do about it. Republicans, the Democrats, nobody seems to care about the middle-class people.
Yeah.
We have a losing battle, and I don't know where you go. I don't know who you turn to. I doubt whether they're on Obamacare. Maybe they don't have to be on Obamacare. They got their own little things going on. But if you have a couple that retire early, their income takes a drastic change, they're going to get forced into Medicaid unless they have some health insurance from an employer that's going to carry them over.
Well, isn't that the whole plan, though? I mean, if you look at, take a strategic look long term, won't everything turn into Medicaid? I mean, I was trying to figure it out at the beginning. What was the long term goal of the government? To get everybody into Medicaid, or to turn the insurance companies into a kind of a quasi public concern?
Well, the insurance companies are between a rock and a hard place, and their expanded Medicaid. It's been greatly overextended now. I'm not sure where all the money's coming from, because what the government's doing, they just sent out a notice a couple of weeks ago, and a statement was made by Kevin Cunahan. He's the marketplace CEO of Centers of Medicare and Medicaid, that we're getting well, it's officially a tax credit. It's not a subsidy, but it's a tax credit. And it's a form 1095-AS. With that form, you claim it as income. So that adds to your income. So the government's getting you one way or another. They're still going to get money from you. You have to claim it. In February, they notified about 800,000 tax filers. Less than 1% of total tax filers to expect an updated marketplace tax statement. I don't know what we do. I don't know what we do. Again, like I said, New Mexico had a fantastic plan. Now what they're doing with Medicaid is not only New Mexico, but it's all over the country.
I got a question to ask you, and it's kind of a general question that I'm sure you have an opinion on. The way that this has played out with Obamacare and all the rest, it almost seems like you can't make strategic choices for healthcare because the Obamacare has changed the market so much. I mean, it's like you either have a choice to take that or Medicaid or that or not. I mean, it just seems like everything is kind of different now.
A lot of people fall in a category. I had a couple come in and their premium was going to be $500 for a mediocre plan. But they were out of pockets before the insurance company. That was a middle-of-the-line plan. But I paying $500 a month with a $4,000, $3,000 out-of-pocket deductible right off the bat. How much of a budget is that for people? The average person, they're paying their rent, they pay the utilities.
So is everybody in that, and really what I was trying to get at is, are we just, we'd have no choices anymore with health insurance? We either sign up or we don't, and if we sign up, then we have to accept these giant deductibles?
We really have no choice. One of the other worst thing about it is, it's open enrollment's closed. Why do we need open enrollment for it to enroll before? You used to be able to roll any time of the year for health insurance. Now it's kind of like Medicare. So they're punishing people. Oh, you don't get health insurance now? Well, you can't get it till next year. Well, what are people supposed to do? Who's listening that really cares to us? You know, cares about the average person?
Well, here's the question. I mean, I know you would sell insurance, and obviously the government coming into the market has probably inconvenienced you, but can you say whether the changes in healthcare over the last six years have made insurance better or worse, and why? Support your answer with some facts or observations.
Kelly, insurance has gotten out of hand. The majority of people qualified for Medicaid now. Medicaid for the people under 55, it could be a very good thing. For kids, it's a very good thing. Their claim is that, well, if you had health issues, you couldn't get health insurance. I say hogwash to that, because I could get people health insurance. If you told me you had cancer, MS, I would have got you health insurance through Blue Cross and Blue Shield. I can't do that anymore. With the health pool, it was affordable. It was practical. Your out-of-pockets were low. Not anymore. If you qualify for Medicaid, yeah, you're going to get everything for free. But somewhere along the line, somebody's paying for it. I think New Mexico ran out of money once for the Medicaid program, and I don't remember exactly how many millions of dollars the government gave them to float Medicaid. And I'm not sure if that's still going on, but they're playing with people's, not only the people, but their kids' inheritances, what they're handing down to their children. The government's going to take it.
So they're nationalizing some stuff. They're like...
I think they call it socialism, maybe.
Well...
Communism? I'm not sure.
So, but health insurance is worse now.
I believe so.
Is health care worse?
Doctors have to fall into the line and do what they get told to do, but I think a lot of the older doctors have retired or stopped. They're selling their practices or growing out, and they have no choice. They have to either accept it or...
We've got a phone call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hey, Kelly. I just wanted to mention something about the doctors and their private practices.
Call number six. Yes, Mike, go ahead.
Okay, I was on James Wood's Twitter account, and he's considered a very high IQ person.
Yes, please, Mike, just get to the point for one time.
He's on his Twitter account, he says, a doctor friend of mine said Obamacare will put all private practice physicians out of business within 5 years. And then he said, if you love the way the VA treats our veterans, you'll love Obamacare. It's like Gruber said, the American people are stupid, and it's a tax on the people.
Thank you, Mike. Have a good day. All right, folks. Six is the record for calling into the show. Congratulations, Mike. Yes, Jerry, go ahead.
Mike, not for nothing, but with the VA people and the weights they have, I've supplemented some of them with the Medicare Advantage program that has no money extra out of their pocket. I had a gentleman, he's got diabetes. He goes for a test at the VA. They won't give him the results. They won't tell him anything. He asked me about it. I gave him a plan, a Medicare Advantage plan. He can go to the doctor anytime. He can get taken care of. He's got diabetes, and they set him up every 6 months for an exam at the VA. And I've done this with other people that are just dependent on VA insurance, and it's helped them. The government doesn't take care of the veterans. The government, they're not taking care of us. Well, they are taking care of us. They want to take us over, but we're between a rock and a hard place, Mike, and nobody seems to care. Nobody seems to listen. When I said something to my upline about it, they says, don't worry about it. You just write insurance. That's like, okay, thank you very much.
Okay, folks, with Jerry Itachico and talking about insurance in New Mexico and the insurance industry, and we will be right back. It is 726 AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. Kelly O'Connell here, 523-1450. We will be back. It's Kelly here, and got Gerald Itachico on, and I want to thank you for coming on. Gerald, what's your phone number? So people have questions or, you know, interested in possibly...
My phone number is area code 575-993-9922.
And are you available to answer questions? And
anybody
what kind of
wants to call me, they're more than welcome to, especially any of our state reps.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Jerry. Thanks for coming on and have a great day.
Hey, thank you very much, Kelly.
You bet. All right, folks. So I've got a report here that you might find interesting. ISIS is claiming that they are everywhere in the United States, so or they're at least spread out, and that's a little bit scary. We just had an attack in Texas, and we were talking about that the other day. Here is the lady who was at the center of it, Pam Geller, and I told you that I had dealt with her before as an editor, but check it out. The government has not contacted her. I'm sure the government hates her guts, at least some of them. All right, so that's Pam Geller, and a lover or a hater, but she's stirring the pot on this stuff, and there is a claim by the ISIS that, number one, they're going to kill her. Number two, ISIS, here's just a couple of stories. The ISIS Texas shooter was heartthrob in Pakistan, and ISIS has put out a warning. We have 71 trained soldiers in 15 states, and then they name five targets that they're going to go after. So does ISIS have any sleeper cells in the United States? I don't know. But it seems to me that they've got people in the United States. It's pretty obvious that that they can call people out on an attack. And this is from Bismillah R. Rahman R. Rahim, the new era to our brothers and sisters fighting for the sake of Allah. We make dua, D-U-A, whatever that means, for you, and ask Allah to guide your bullets, terrify your enemies, and establish you in the land. As our noble brother in the Philippines said in his baya, this is the golden era, and everyone who believes is running for shaheed. The attack by the Islamic States in America is only the beginning of our efforts to establish a wilayah in the heart of our enemy. Our aim was the Khanzir Pamela Geller, and to show her that we don't care what land she hides in or what sky shields her, we will send all our lions to achieve her slaughter. This will heal the hearts of our brothers and disperse the ones behind her to those who protect her. This will be your only warning of housing this woman and her circus show. Everyone who houses her events gives her a platform to spill her filth. And in her filth, yes. Thanks for the call, Kelly. Kind of show. Who is this?
Round 7, Kelly.
No. Mike, you cannot do that. This will, all right, so Mike, don't call back. Let me call you, don't call us. We have been watching closely who was present at this event and the shooter of our brothers. We know what the target was, protected our inner. Our intention was to show how easy we give our lives for the sake of Allah. We have 71 trained soldiers in 15 different states ready at our word to attack any target we desire. Out of the 71 trained soldiers, 23 have signed up for missions. Like Sunday, we are increasing the number of Bithnilla. Of the 15 states, we will name Virginia, Maryland, Illinois, California, and Michigan. The disbelievers who shot our brother think that you killed someone untrained. Nay! They gave you their bodies in plain view because we were watching. In the next 6 months, it will be interesting, and et cetera, et cetera. So anyway, there's a threat out there, folks. And I would think that there was some level of seriousness there. All right. So 736 AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBEM, Kelly O'Connell, 523, 1450. And Mike, please. Take a break, would you? Let somebody else call in for once. We'll be right back. It's Kelly here, and I've got a little clip here on a little something from Rachel Maddow. Well, actually, it's not little, it's gigantic. So let's play something else here. Something from Greta Van Susteren, if I can get that puppy queued up here. But the question is something that we've been talking about, and I think we've pretty much accepted it, we do have people that would commit jihad in this country living here already. So, you know, in the United States government is bringing in a lot of people from the Middle East, and they, my understanding is that they were not doing a background check on them. So it seems like this particular administration that's running everything now just is loves to take wild risks and pretend there's no risk whatsoever. So in so many different ways. But here is a little bit from Greta Van Susteren on this story. So ISIS is here now. This is something that I've thought about this. I mean, on the one hand, I think there's something to be gained by not standing down on our freedoms, but why go out of our way to provoke somebody? I mean, it's just, I don't know. So here's little O'Reilly. Hey, it's Kelly. I put you on hold. Well, and that's true. We do have a caller. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
This is Aaron Kelly.
Hey, what's up, man?
Well, I think the case we find ourselves is that, you know, you don't want to go out and antagonize people.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, nobody wants to do that or should want to do that. But at the same time, why do we let them set the bar on anything when it comes to our constitutional rights? We have to at some point say no. You can't go around,
Aaron,
and threaten us,
Aaron,
because of things.
Aaron,
yeah.
Why not do it in a way that is a little more serious? And I'm trying to think of what that would look like. Here's my problem with a lot of this. Since 9/11, there has never been a serious attempt to understand Islam and kind of contrast Christianity, which is our native religion here. Well, I guess a native religion would be, you know, shamanism,
yeah,
or whatever. But you know,
yeah,
what I'm saying?
You got a totem in the backyard, whatever. Okay.
Yeah, but there's never been a serious attempt to explain Islam versus Christianity and try to get people to look at the differences. It would be better, I think, to expose people that way than just through the cartoons. I don't know this lady's heart. I've dealt with her before. Personally, she was very kind to me, but she's selling a product, which is her blog site, and she's trying to sell American, you know, freedom of speech and everything, but is she going about it the right way?
Well, I think the thing we have to come to grips with is that, okay, well, first of all, jihad is growing exponentially. It's not just a small fragment anymore, and it's growing. And we have to face the fact that we're going to have to fight it no matter what we do, whether we hold little conferences in coliseums about drawing Muhammad,
yeah,
or whether
okay,
we pass laws to prevent people,
Aaron,
from having to wear burqas.
Aaron,
whatever it might be,
Aaron,
we're going to have to fight it.
Aaron, I got another call. Call right back if you want to keep talking. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
This is Kirk Kelly.
Hey, Kirk. Hope you're doing well, and thanks for the call, and what's on your mind?
I think I've got a comment about understanding the Muslim religion in the 80s or 90s.
All right.
When I worked in another city, the clothes salesman I got to know real well, because I'd usually buy a suit once a year from him,
okay,
was from Iran, and he was a Muslim. Great guy. But he could. That's when Salman Rushdie wrote the satanic verses, and they put out a kill order on him.
Yeah.
And he said to me, I do not understand how you can allow that kind of comment against the prophet. Now, this guy wasn't a radical. That's just their belief. And I think with free speech also comes responsibility. And as you know, and you've heard it, you can't yell fire in a crowded theater.
All right. So, and I hear you've got a little bit of an accent. Is that Texas?
I hope not.
Or do you have an accent? Maybe it's my ears are playing tricks on me, but you sound maybe
Hopefully it's just New Mexico.
Oh, okay. All right. I've made that mistake before, but pardon me. But okay. So I'm kind of trying to pick through my mind. We're bringing a lot of people from the Middle East here as if it's inevitable that we come here, that they come here hundreds of thousands per year. What do you think about that?
Well, I guess my view is I don't know why we need immigration at all. We've got 50 million people in this country, poverty level.
Yeah.
I think we've got a lot of work to do here, and I think we can educate everyone we need that need all the technical problems that are facing us. Just my view, an old curmudgeon.
No, but I mean, I'm trying to, you know, I think there is some a genius in collecting people's thoughts together and in kind of examining each one. But all right, so don't provoke the prophet. But I mean, this guy who you said was not excessive had a very strong opinion about Muhammad. Did you turn around and say, in this country, we support freedom of speech no matter what?
No, I was just, I guess, kind of stunned and listened to him when I found out that what I call your run-of-the-street Muslim let me know that they took offense personally about what anyone talked about Muhammad.
Well,
and you know, they're not allowed to make, I think the only valid translation of the Quran is in Arabic, and they don't change it. They have to learn it in Arabic.
Yeah, well, they've got this teaching that there was a mother book that was in the bosom of Allah from eternity, and it was written in Arabic. That's one of their beliefs.
Yeah.
So I've
said more than I know about Islam, I guess.
All right. Well, listen, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I just wanted to make that point about maybe understanding how they really feel.
What's the difference between understanding and being indulgent?
That's a good question.
Because, I mean, we really don't want to have a double standard for free speech in this country because there's a group, there's a minority, a powerful or a active slash violent minority group that demands to have its own version of the right of free speech. I mean, that's just going to breed even more disasters.
Yeah, well, the group you mentioned, the one in Texas.
Yeah.
To me, they fit in the category of those who yell fire in a crowded theater.
All right, I understand. All right, okay. I think a lot of people would disagree, but some are going to definitely agree with you. I appreciate the call, and thanks for listening in, and have a great day. Take a little break here. That's good points there, but I mean, here's the thing. We are creating a problem, and I'm sure that the administration wants to do this. They've already shown us that they want to bring an almost unlimited number of immigrants in, as many as they can get across the border and naturalize them. Therefore, they want illegal immigrants here. They also want immigrants from the Middle East. What is their purpose? I don't know. But what is going to be the outcome? What if there were 20 instead of 2 million or 3 million Muslims here? What if there were 30 million? What kind of a problem would we be dealing with? I am not aware of any country that has had a Muslim population that's been a majority that has not gone for, you know, rule by Islam. So, I mean, if there is one and you know about it, let me know. We'll be right back. 749 Kelly O'Connell AM Las Cruces 1450 KOBE. It is Kelly here, and I was looking in last night to the Shalem Colony, which Rob had mentioned, and I don't really think I've got enough time to do it justice. We do have another caller. Thanks for the call to Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hey, Kelly, this is David. How are you?
Good, David. Thanks for calling in. Hope you're doing well, and what's on your mind?
Yeah, I think what's happening with all the people coming into this country is part of the transformation plan that Obama spoke about the night that he won the election 6.5 years ago. And I think what he's trying to do is he's trying to, you know, Saddam Hussein, when he was leader of Iraq, you know, he had a total chaotic country, but yet because he was the king, he lived like a king. And I think that's what Obama's trying to do here to the United States, create a total chaotic, but he's always going to live like a king because he does not want American exceptionalism, because he sees that as a threat to the rest of the world. And he's more a person about the world than he is the United States. That's the way I feel about the guy.
That's pretty strong stuff there, David. And so what do you see in the future for America?
Well, I just see that, you know, if we don't get wraps on this guy in the next year and a half, I mean, we could be to the point where, you know, you heard your guest that you had earlier, our healthcare system is going to be a wreck. They're going to start, you know, if you have any assets at all and then you go get healthcare, then they're going to take your assets away from you because you have enough assets to pay for healthcare. And so it's just, you know, I just see it as a very scary time in America right now.
And you think that people in America have given up, have libertarians and conservatives given up? Have you noticed that?
No, I almost feel like there's a resurgence of some. And hopefully, you know, like Texas, I feel like the state of Texas would be the place to go if things got really bad, because I think in Texas they would back off and say, you know what, dude, we're the Republic of Texas now, so we're going to secede from the states, and we're going to live our life, and then you go live your life, because we have ports here, we can create our own economy. And so I feel like there's some parts of the country that are going to fight back, but you know, these liberals, they just want us to bow down and not be exceptional anymore.
Yeah, and you
and
see,
it's scary.
You see the local liberals like Billy Golden Earring, you know, we're going to take a whole bunch of new money and tell people that we're going to use it for the sheriff, but we're really not going to do that. We're going to pretend to do it. And you can just, when it comes time to criticize us, you can just suck it up. I mean, that's this kind of decision-making that's made from the top. And like I was saying, this Nietzsche will to power, one person gets to call the shots. Their model is kind of tyrannical, you know?
Yeah, totally. I mean, we voted against, what, a tax increase 3 times, and we've had 2 tax increases since the public has voted against the tax increase. So, you know, it's like you said, they don't care what we think. You know, they're going to do what they want to do because they see it. They're always going to be at the top. If you're at the top, you can suppress people, and then you can stay at the top. And you're not going to live a life. Obama's never going to live a life like the normal person. He's always going to live at the king level, period.
That's definitely true. Well, thanks a lot for the call, Dave, and have a good day. All right, folks, I wanted to play a clip here for you people that have a hard time sleeping. This is called the 478 plan from Dr. Wheel. Check this out. How to get to sleep at night. Andrew Wheel, MD, Harvard. How to perform the 478 breath to help you get to sleep. I don't even know where that other ad is coming from, but what you're supposed to do is breathe in for 4 seconds, hold it for 7 seconds, and then breathe out kind of slowly with your lips pursed for 8 seconds. Do that 3 or 4 times in a row, and Dr. Wheel is saying that that will help almost anybody get to sleep. So I know there's a lot of people out there that have a hard time getting to sleep, and I think it's rumored to be harder to sleep when you get older. So anyway, 4, 7, 8. Breathe in for 4 seconds, hold it for 7 seconds, and then breathe out with a little bit of resistance for 8 seconds, and then repeat that 3 or 4 times, and he says it's like magic. So anyway, well, we want to thank Jerry Itachico for coming in today, and thank you for listening in. I've got kind of a grab bag tomorrow. I've got some science stories that I've been sitting on, and a couple of other things But I do have a lot of science stories that I wanted to talk about. I've been studying, reading about the age and the size of the universe. They say that the known universe is 98 billion light years across. The visible universe, the universe that is beyond the power that we have to see it is 250 times bigger than that, believe it or not. Thanks a lot. Have a great day. Kelly O'Connell Show. KOBE. Ciao.
Too, man.
Maybe. I want to announce my movements to you specifically. Thanks, Jerry.